From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Bubble Park City College.
South San Francisco.
Downtown.
ATL.
Pittsburgh.
P-World.
Oakland.
Corona Heights, San Francisco.
Coming up, we'll find out who's watching the police in Oakland.
They had ruled in our favor, which I was absolutely surprised by.
And how that oversight is working.
This is how it comes to me.
So it's redacted to some degree.
It's redacted, but look at what the redaction is.
Also, we'll look at why the Oakland police don't have more civilian oversight. It's more complicated than you think.
After this many mayors and this many police chiefs, you get the idea that this department is a law unto itself.
Who is policing the Oakland police? That's today on Cross Currents. Today, a federal judge awarded more than $1 million to approximately 150 demonstrators unlawfully arrested by the Oakland police in November 2010 for protesting the sentence of Johannes Messerli, the BART police officer who shot unarmed Oscar Grant. The suit was brought by the National Lawyers Guild to, quote, protect the constitutional right to dissent in Oakland. That city has been under the gun to reform its police policies for more than a decade now. And that's part of the reason for the major shakeup among the top brass over the past few weeks.
We have developing news about a big shakeup in the East Bay, a surprising announcement in Oakland. Police Chief Howard Jordan is stepping down from his duties for health-related issues, and that's effective immediately.
In just 1 week in May, two police chiefs resigned. Former Chief Howard Jordan, then his successor, Anthony Toribio. The departures followed several highly critical reports, one by an independent consultant, the other by the department's court-appointed overseer. Both find that years after the landmark police abuse scandal known as the Writers' Case, the department is still struggling with leadership, accountability, and transparency. In his report, independent monitor Robert Warshaw wrote,
"We have noted in our past reports our serious dismay with the department's stagnation in its progress toward effective, just, and constitutional policing. The department and the city have stifled and sidetracked this effort for far too long."
Despite the uncertainty, Oakland residents do have a way to document negative interactions with the police. The Citizens Police Review Board, or CPRB, was established in 1979 after two OPD officers killed Melvin Black, a 14-year-old African-American boy. An independent investigation found the shooting was not justified. But the city attorney, the police department, the U.S. Attorney's Office, and the district attorney's office all said it was justified. Residents were outraged. They began to put pressure on city leaders, demanding more oversight of police. More than 30 years later, the CPRB has investigated thousands of cases. KLW's Kyungjin Lee followed one investigation and found that while CPRB can be effective, community police relations aren't necessarily improving. She brings us this report.
We're getting pretty close. I think that big old warehouse over there is in front.
All Tom Maloney wanted was a police report.
Parts of the Bay Bridge were built there way when it was actually...
It was almost a year and a half ago at the American Steel Building in West Oakland. Maloney, his girlfriend, and a friend attended a fundraiser here that night. Everyone drank and partied.
And then as the night wore on, my friend who I was in the company of, who was of a transgender, was essentially verbally accosted by some fellow guests here.
Maloney says he and his companions asked the harassers to take it easy, and they walked away. But things got heated. Someone raised a fist. Maloney stepped in.
That was kind of the last thing I do remember happening here, because at that point, I was then accosted and beaten. I was hit rather severely to the point where I lay on the ground, pretty much where we're at now. I was very unconscious.
The ambulance came, along with the police. Witnesses told him they saw officers question a few people at the scene, but they didn't arrest anyone. Maloney was treated at Highland Hospital for massive head injuries.
One of the police officers actually brought the girls to the hospital behind me. and calmed them. And for that, I'll forever be grateful to him. He was a really good guy.
About a week later, Maloney went to OPD headquarters for a police report. But when he got there,
they told me there was nothing.
He pressed the reception officer at the station, who gave him a form to request a report. And for the next few weeks, he kept following up.
They simply said no, no, and no.
So there was no police report?
No police report made, period.
Without a police report, Maloney couldn't press charges against his assailant.
So I had no way to prove any crime had happened.
After months of inquiry, Maloney took his case first to the police department's Internal Affairs Division, then to the Citizens Police Review Board, the CPRB. He lodged separate complaints with both agencies. Then he waited, and waited some more. Other than a letter or two saying his case was moving forward, he wouldn't hear anything for almost a year. I'm at a monthly CPRB meeting where a dozen volunteer board members are convening in Oakland City Council Chamber. They discuss a retreat to orient new members and other agency business. Then they get ready to hear a case. This is the meat of the board's work, and it's closed to the public.
Next, I believe we will go into closed session.
Every case gets a preliminary review of the facts. After that, the vast majority are administratively closed, either because the complainant stops cooperating or because there just isn't enough information. In 2012, the board received 67 complaints. 50 were administratively closed, 5 went directly to the city administrator for review. Another 5 were checked out by civilian investigators. Those are the only cases the board looked at in depth. The others are still pending. When hearing a case, board member Sokum Mao says he tries to fill in all the pieces.
As I'm picturing the story in my head, I try to see if there's any missing evidence or somebody's not there. Is there a witness?
During the hearings, board members get a chance to speak directly with both the complainant and the accused officer. Mao says that's a key part of the process.
We have an opportunity to ask questions and to really get down to the story of what happened.
In his day job, Mao is a child welfare advocate. Other board members range from a former civilian police employee to social workers and attorneys. Mao says the diversity of the board itself leads to a diversity of perspectives, which is reflected when it's time to deliberate. Originally, evidence hearings were open to the public. But in 2006, California Supreme Court ruled in a landmark case, known as Copley, that law enforcement agents aren't like other public employees. Namely, their personnel records are confidential. In Oakland, Copley fundamentally changed the way the CPRB handles its business. The hearings were closed, and the board lost its ability to track problem officers.
The Citizens Police Review Board are not privy to the officer's past history of complaints and findings.
This is CPRB manager Patrick Caceres. He says the board has to look at each case in a vacuum. They can't know if an officer is causing repeated problems.
So we're operating in the sense that based upon this specific incident and in this moment in time, what would be the appropriate discipline, thinking that this is the first offense?
This is how it comes to me.
So it's redacted to
it's
some
redacted,
degree.
It's redacted, but look at what the redaction is.
There are other problems with the privacy clause. Janice Embry is an advocate for people who file complaints to the CPRB. When we meet, she shows me a case file about 2 inches thick.
Right. Page 2, page 3, page 4.
13.
14.
15.
So 19 pages of full redaction.
Embry's been helping people prepare for their board hearings for 3 years. But she doesn't always have access to the details of their cases, even basic details. Embry says she once saw a case with the time of the incident blacked out. She couldn't even tell if it happened during the day or at night.
How is that in keeping with Copley?
And there's one more big issue. The police rep gets to sit in while the citizen testifies, but not vice versa. Again, because of privacy. So practically speaking, this is how the process usually works. You submit a complaint and wait to see if your case is one of the handful that gets a full investigation. Let's say that you do. Well, that investigation can take a year to complete. At the end of that, you go before a board where a police representative gets to hear your version of the story, but you can't hear his. The board deliberates and makes a decision, and in most cases, you're likely to win. But that win is really just a recommendation. Ultimately, the city administrator reviews all the board's decisions and consults with the chief of police about whether to discipline the officer. And here's the thing. The city administrator, currently Deanna Santana, manages both the CPRB and the police department. So she has to balance the needs of both bodies when she reviews the board's recommendations.
I have to look at the case for its merits and whether an employee should be disciplined and make decisions that where sometimes there's lots of agreement between the police department and CPRB or where there's disagreement. And I also have to look at what's the higher level risk management of where we're trying to drive organizational change.
Janice Embry and other citizen advocates see this as a conflict of interest. They worry that the process unfairly advantages the police department, that as administrator, Santana is looking to minimize the city's liability. But she says that's not true.
More likely than not, I agree with CPRB. We looked at the numbers. I'm at about 76% agreement, which is pretty good, and 24% disagreement. So one could say that I'm really being mindful and looking at the integrity of the process that CPRB offers, and more likely than not, I'm going to agree with their findings.
If Santana agrees that a complaint should be upheld, the last step is consequences. Anything from a written reprimand to termination, though that's very rare. In 2012, the CPRB recommended discipline for 9 officers. Santana upheld 8, but reversed the last one. That means one officer wasn't punished, even though the board found evidence of misconduct. There's no appeals process. Everyone agrees having some civilian oversight is better than having none at all. Tom Maloney finally got his hearing this past January after waiting about a year. But, he says, the experience was disappointing.
I've come here tonight, I've despite having worked a 12-hour day, washed myself up, put on a suit, made myself as presentable as one should do in these events, apparently. And the questions are curt. There's some kind of giddy play going on from the man who's the host and the head of this committee, who doesn't seem to be a very professional individual.
At one point, he says he saw a board member fall asleep. He left the hearing feeling dejected. But 2 weeks later, he got a letter.
They had ruled in our favor, which I was absolutely surprised by. I must say, I was really happy, but really surprised by.
2 months later, OPD's Internal Affairs Division also upheld Maloney's complaints.
There was an explanation to further things to say that they would be in contact later to say what measures would be taken towards, you know, the officers regarding their behavior or lack of diligence in their process.
Maloney says he's grateful for the opportunities he's had, that the police department came out and helped him the night he was beaten, that the CPRB took his case and ultimately ruled in his favor. But he's also lost a lot of confidence in the system, and the most basic part of his complaint is still unresolved.
What would it take for you to change your mind about that piece of Oakland that isn't functioning for you?
A police report.
In Oakland, I'm Kyungjin Lee for Cross Currents.
If you want to share your experience of interactions with local police or the CPRB, you can give us a call at 415-264-7106. Just leave us a message at 415-264-7106. This is Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. Civilian oversight can work the way it's intended. Tom Maloney didn't get a police report, but someone did listen to his case. It may not sound like much, but it's actually a vital service of civilian oversight boards, helping restore public trust in law enforcement. Over the past decade, there have been more than 87 officer-involved shootings in Oakland, 39 of them fatal. When one of those shootings happens, OPD's Internal Affairs Division automatically investigates. But these investigations have been widely criticized. In 2006, the federal monitor overseeing the department's reforms found that Internal Affairs officers regularly fail to consider alternative reports. They don't follow up on leads and show bias in their reviews. An October 2012 report found that, quote, in most cases, the investigator appears predisposed to the position that the shooting is justified and then subtly or overtly sets out to prove that premise. Lingering questions about the credibility of Internal Affairs have motivated community advocates in Oakland to push to strengthen the Citizens Police Review Board. They say a board with real authority could make sure the department is doing its job. In 2011, Oakland City Council approved a measure that would give the CPRB first look at all police complaints and 8 more investigators to handle those. The change would also free up officers currently handling complaints to go back out on the streets. The official name for this process is civilianization. The reform was supposed to occur by January 1st of this year, but it's been delayed. Reporter Charlie Mintz explores why.
Rashida Grenage is sitting in her street front office on Foothill Boulevard in East Oakland, looking at a pile of documents. It's early April, and she's preparing for a city council meeting in just a few days. Her glasses are on, her face is serious. She's frustrated.
This police department continues to do things that are wrong because they don't have a price to pay. In order to start addressing what's wrong, we need a paper trail. Otherwise, we just have a lot of unhappy people in Oakland, and nothing changes in the department.
Grenage works for an organization called Pueblo, People United for a Better Life in Oakland. She spent 2 decades fighting for more civilian oversight of OPD.
We got involved with public safety in Oakland in the mid-90s, and we did so because it was brought up as a concern of the folks that we represent, which are largely people of color, people who are low income, young people. They raised police abuse as one of the most significant problems facing them in Oakland.
Oakland's relationship to its police is still uneasy. In 2005, a Pueblo survey found that just 1 in 10 city residents filed a complaint after a negative interaction with an officer. Grenage says that's because people don't trust the police to properly investigate those complaints. Pueblo has campaigned to change that perception, and thanks in part to their efforts, the Citizens Police Review Board, or the CPRB, now has independent investigators and the power to subpoena officers. But it still handles fewer than 100 cases a year. That's just a fraction of what Internal Affairs gets. Grenage says that's been slow to change.
After this many mayors and this many city administrators and this many police chiefs, you get the idea that this department is a law unto itself.
Still, the city council voted for reform more than a year ago. Grenage is headed to the council meeting to find out why it hasn't happened yet.
All right, do we have a motion to accept the closed session report out? Moved by Councilmember Kaplan, second by Gallo, and by consensus.
By 9 p.m. on April 16th, the Oakland City Council has concluded most of its agenda items. The studious children have been congratulated. The medical cannabis emergency has been declared. By the time the clerk announces agenda item 12 about the CPRB, more than half the seats are empty. Rashida Grenage is still there, though, in the middle row, flanked by Pueblo supporters.
Receive a report and possible action on the status of the transfer of the Internal Affairs complaint intake function from the OPD to the City Administrator's Office, the funding for which was approved by the City Council as part of fiscal year 2011 through 13 budget.
In a minute, Oakland City Administrator Deanna Santana will update the Council on the status of the transition to civilian oversight. As the highest-ranking official in Oakland, and at nearly $300,000 a year, the highest paid, Santana's job is quite simply to run the city. What the council votes for, she's supposed to make happen. So, ultimately, civilianization is her responsibility.
If you look at page 6 of the report, it pretty much summarizes where we're at with respect to implementing these 2 reorganization efforts.
Over the next 10 minutes, she runs through a list of roadblocks her office is facing. First, there are objections from the police union. They say they have the right to bargain over more oversight, just as they would salaries or benefits. Then there's the requirement to comply with the 57 police reforms mandated in the wake of the Ryder's case. That was a police scandal that got OPD a court order to reform or face federal takeover.
And the last is that the compliance director, through the federal court order, has the authority to direct specific actions by the city or OPD to attain or improve compliance levels or remedy compliance errors regarding all portions of
the compliance director was hired to help enact those reforms. His name is Thomas Frazier, and he now has final say over everything that happens in the department. Santana says that's another hurdle. She tells the council that Oakland can't do anything to change civilian oversight until he gives the okay.
It's important for him before he will consider approving these items.
Watching from her seat, Rashida Grenache purses her lips and shakes her head. When Santana finishes, she stands up.
Madam Mayor, you made a commitment to us.
Grenache basically says that the obstacles Santana's listed aren't really obstacles. She says federal overseers have no problem with civilianization. And when I speak with one of the attorneys involved in the Ryder's case later, he confirms this. Grenache also disputes that the Police Officers Association gets to have a say.
This is not bargainable. This is nobody's being laid off. Nobody's losing salary.
Grenache's big point is this. That as city administrator, it's Santana's job to supervise the police. And she hasn't done that.
It is your responsibility to make sure that this department is in compliance. Council, please do your job. Please direct staff to get this done by date certain. And show evidence, if any exists, as to why that cannot be the case. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
After Grenache speaks, the council members all voice their support. They want what they voted for to happen. The meeting ends with a resolution to reset the deadline for October 15th. As I left, though, I still had questions. First, I called David Downing, the head of OPD's Internal Affairs Division. He says the police union agrees with civilianizing the complaint process, in principle.
Do we want it to occur? Yeah. Do we want it rapidly? No, I'd rather have it correctly.
Downing says there are still a lot of details to work out, and the police union does want to bargain them. For example, where will the CPRB be housed? How will its investigators be trained?
I'm going to be honest. We're just getting rolling on this.
Hi. Hello. Come on in. Deanna.
How are you?
You are?
I'm Charlie.
There was one more person left to ask about all this. Deanna Santana agreed to meet me in her office on the third floor of City Hall.
There's a lot of work to do. There has already been an incredible amount of work completed. We're certainly going to do everything that we can do to make it happen.
Once we start talking, Santana restates what she thinks are the two biggest obstacles to increasing civilian oversight. One, approval from the police union, and two, approval from the compliance director.
The compliance director has not yet formally approved, and I still need to understand how he will issue formal approvals, whether they'll be in writing or just over the phone more informally. The suggestion was that more meetings needed to occur.
Remember, the city administrator's critics say these are all stalling tactics, and Santana has interfered with police reform before. In 2012, she tried to redact a report that criticized OPD's response to the Occupy protests. It was a response written by none other than the compliance director himself. But Santana is adamant that she's not interfering with these reforms. She says her department is doing all it can under tough circumstances.
This is a very hardworking organization. It's an organization that is at its lowest staffing levels. They're highly committed, but they're also highly burdened with a heavy workload. This is not for lack of trying.
Oakland's problems with its police go back decades. And so far, no mayor or city administrator or outside monitor has been able to solve them. Officials are hopeful that this year will be different, and reforming the police complaint process is a promising start. But it's also a window into the challenges that lie ahead. In Oakland, I'm Charlie Mintz for Cross Currents.
And And for the record, we made repeated efforts to contact Compliance Director Thomas Frazier to get his perspective for today's show, but we did not receive any response. We'd like to hear what you think about how things are going in Oakland. What do you think needs to change? You can join the discussion at our Facebook page or send us a message on Twitter. We're KALW. And you'll find links to all of our reports at our website. It's KALW.org. And that's it for today's Cross Currents from KALW News. Our team includes Tiffany Kamhai, Lisa Carmack, Jen Chien, Julie Kane, Ben DeLuca, Audrey Dilling, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Teddy Lederer, Seth Samuel, Judy Silber, Stephen Short, Eva Sonsan, Melanie Young, and Mary Willis. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Our managing editor is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. And thanks to you, KALW is independent, listener-supported public media. You may already know this song, but you've probably never heard this version by Bay Area band The Void Boys. They're likely to be playing this Cranberries cover and other songs from their 90s compilation album when they take the stage Wednesday at the Knockout in San Francisco. Music begins about 10 p.m. All of that information is at KALW.org. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.